We're back on Inside the Huddle and continuing on with our racing theme for this Memorial Day weekend on Inside the Huddle program. I'm speaking with Cole Bodine. He is from Rossville, Indiana. He's 23 years old. He started his racing career many, many years ago, and he's been throughout the United States racing all different types of cars. Cole, good morning. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Glad you'd be on the program this week. I'm trying to do an all Clinton County theme. I don't think a lot of people in Clinton County that listen to WILO or Clinton County Daily News knows that Cole Bodine from Rossville is being known throughout the nation of the United States for being a race car driver. And Cole, can you talk a little bit about how you started your racing career and when that started and, you know, where you're at now? Just kind of lead us up to where we're at now.
Oh, yeah. So my dad was the one to blame for kind of getting me into racing. He never raced himself, but he always he helped with a few race teams kind of growing up and stuff. And, you know, about as soon as I could start walking, he got me into these cars called quarter midgets. They were on all asphalt stuff, kind of like a go-kart. And stuff.
Right.
And so I ended up running those for years. I think would have been like about 10 or 11, I think, whenever I got out of those and finally made the jump to dirt to they're called micro sprints. That's actually exactly what Jack Hoyer still running right now as well. They got a crotch rocket motor, 600cc, but they are on dirt, and we ran those for a handful of years, and you know, started winning a lot and traveling, and we were being pretty competitive wherever we'd go. Obviously, the next step in racing into sprint cars and midgets is it takes a lot more money. It's obviously very expensive to kind of take that next jump, especially in today's day and age. But so there's a handful of kids that you know, would kind of stop racing and go work for a race team and kind of take a whole year or two or however long and, you know, go travel the U.S. running the USAC series, World of Outlaw series, or, you know, all these series you get to work for is, you know, someday you want to run them. And that's kind of what I did with USAC. In Fishers, Indiana, there's a really big USAC team called Clawson Marshall Racing. And
right.
I went and worked for them right after I graduated high school in 2017. And obviously, my mom wasn't too thrilled because I was already accepted to go to college. And next thing you know, I'm going racing full time or working. And, I'd say it's one of the best decisions I've ever made because, you know, it's kind of turned me into who I am today in a way. And I've learned so much over those few years. And, you know, after working for them for 2 years, I ended up getting a full-time ride with them. Running a midget, and then that kind of escalated into a sprint car, and you know, I got to do some really cool and exciting things with that team. And
Cole, then, by hearing that name, can you expand a little bit about the Clawson? I think he was a race car driver that, you know, did Indy cars, and then unfortunately I think he passed away, and then his family is keeping up this tradition and start keeping this race team. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, you're 100% right. Their son was named Brian Clawson. I still believe he is one of the greatest dirt racers to ever do it. And I mean, they're definitely continuing his legacy. And you know, he's one of the best. And they have a race actually coming up this Sunday at Kokomo. It's called the BC Double Double because he did run the Indianapolis 500, and obviously during the day, and then in the evening he would drive from the 500 all the way to Kokomo. And he ended up winning that sprint car race. But, you know, just as it's just crazy, you know, especially like being in my shoes, you know, you're watching this guy on TV run the Indianapolis 500. Then here we are a couple hours later, we're running together on the same track at Kokomo.
I bet that wasn't.
It was just, I don't know, it kind of, you know, it definitely inspired a lot of, you know, younger people, you know, such as myself, like, man, like, this guy's doing exactly what I'm doing and running the 500. Man, well, why can't I do that? And, you know, the biggest thing is just keeping your head down and working, and I don't know, never giving up was a big thing.
Well, I'm sure that was a hard decision, you know, to pass up going to school or, you know, working for the Clossing race team. So I think it's turned out well for you. And can you talk a little bit about, you know, where you've been throughout the country and some of the unique races you've attended or participated in?
I'd say the one of the more cool ones for me was around toward the end of the year, we go out to Arizona and California. I mean, as far as just a cool experience, I really enjoyed those. Obviously, I've never been to Arizona, never been to California, so obviously the sites were all new, but one of the tracks in California called there in Ventura, the track was literally right off the beach. You know, you could, like, as you're watching the race, you could turn your head all the way around, and right there's the beach and the ocean. You could literally throw a rock from your trailer to the beach, and it was just, it was really unique seeing that track and being that close to the beach, and, you know, especially right there in California. It was that was definitely one of the cooler places I've been. But I mean, obviously we've been from Florida to California and everywhere in between. And, I don't know, normally whenever you're racing so much, you kind of forget to stop and smell the roses and, yeah, you know, enjoy what you're actually doing, because, you know, normally you're racing back-to-back nights and driving a couple hundred miles to get to the next track, and you're always pretty exhausted and trying to catch up on sleep. But you definitely do have to pause and enjoy the moments, because, man, looking back now, I'm like, man, I wish I would have slowed down just a little bit more and, you know, enjoyed it just a little bit more, because, you know, back then it was, you know, it was more of a job and just, you know, ready to get through it, get some wins and get back home and be with the family again. But yeah, I mean, it was things I definitely wouldn't trade for the world, and, you know, hopefully I get to do again someday.
And this past January and February, I think you were in Florida, and then I think in Tulsa they have some pretty cool events where you race indoors.
Oh, yeah. So in beginning in January, end of December, they have the Tulsa Shootout, which is micros, and then the Chili Bowl, which is midgets. And those races, I'd say, kind of technically kick off the year. They're just a one-off race, but they're definitely – I'd say everybody wants to win those two races more than any races ever. If you're in dirt, I mean, they're the most, you know, high caliber dirt races there are. I mean, they hardly pay anything. You ain't there to make any money, but the trophy's a little golden driller, oil driller statue.
Right.
And, you know, it's about as long as your arm, but that's what everybody's after. I mean, you'll get you know, hundreds and hundreds of cars just running for one class, and it's definitely the cream of the crop, and it's pretty interesting watching everyone funnel through there. Then you get down to the last 22 cars, and it's a battle. It's really cool, and I've been really fortunate enough. I never won there, but man, I've been so close, and close enough to make you keep going back.
Which they get a lot of people that attend that just to watch. I've actually, years ago, maybe when I was in high school, I was inside that building. I can't remember what it's called, but it's big enough. They build a racetrack on one end of it, and then on the other end, your truck and trailers and all these different race teams throughout the country all park indoors. And it's just a pretty neat experience where everybody, you know, is doing the racing for 2 or 3 days. Am I right on thinking about when I'm explaining that?
Yeah, and, you know, I definitely don't think you could explain the size of that building over the phone, but I mean you could literally fly a, like, crop duster through that building.
Right. It's huge.
It's the world's largest freestanding building, I believe.
That's pretty neat to hear. After that race was over, you had a little bit of bad luck when you and I were talking on the phone yesterday. Can you talk a little bit about what you're looking towards for the future on some sponsorship and maybe what happened there in February has kind of set you back just a little bit?
So, obviously, toward the end of last year, me, my dad, and Lynn Crows started up our own sprint car team out of my dad's shop, and that's it's kind of the home base.
And that's people all from Rossville, Indiana, right?
Yes. Lynn's from Rossville. We started up, we kind of got him involved, more than involved. We brought him to a few races, and man, he used to race back, or help out with some racing way back in the day. We brought him to a few races, and man, he fell right back in love. And, you know, he was he was more than willing to get us whatever we needed to go racing, and he helped us tremendously. And his goal was to go full time USAC racing and everything in between this year. And we were fortunate enough to get to go to Florida. We ran out there like 5 times with him, and got back, kind of getting everything ready. And obviously it wasn't great, but ended up having a heart attack,
right?
Which definitely threw everybody for a loop. It was pretty devastating for everyone. And so obviously, he was one of the team owners as well as my dad. And so that's kind of set back right now. And he was obviously our biggest sponsor. And, we could not have done that without him. So obviously right now we are still racing on in memory of him and trying to, kind of been setting out a few things to get some new sponsorships to keep going the rest of this year. And this year I'd say is worse than all of them as far as prices of fuel, tires, every little thing there, but
right, it's very expensive to keep this going.
And it definitely takes a village, and obviously it's part of it, and we know that. And but just trying to do good on the track helps a lot, but then again it's a little difficult because not a whole lot of people know exactly what I do and how it all works. And I've been fortunate enough to get on here and kind of help be able to explain that a little bit. And, you never know what's going to happen.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about what you're going to be racing or where you're going to be racing out here coming up, I think in the near future here around Indiana?
Oh yeah. So, with the circumstances of all that, it's definitely kind of made our racing a bit more laid back. We're not doing full-time anything. Basically if the weather's good and there's a race nearby, like, we're definitely going to it just to try and cut back on some traveling costs. And we go to Kokomo, they start this Sunday, Bloomington, Putnamville, we're just at Terre Haute, Lawrenceburg. Obviously, we're in the racing capital of the world, and
right.
I'd say that definitely stands for dirt sprint cars. And a lot of local places like that we try and run at. There may be a few races or two out of state that are some pretty big paying races with some really cool facilities that we'll, hopefully get to. But right now we're just hanging on and just kind of going to see what happens here in the near future.
Cole, if people wanted to follow you, can you give us some idea, like Twitter, Facebook, and all that, how they can get a hold of Cole Bodine if they want to be a sponsor, or how they can watch your racing career develop this summer?
Oh, yeah, Facebook's probably one of the biggest, and that's just my name. Twitter's just Cole Bodine 57, and obviously I try like heck to keep them updated, but I probably don't do as great as I should, but try and at least make a post after every race or how we did or where we're going to be planning on going. I also have a website. It's just literally colebodine.com. And yeah, I'm always dying for people to reach out.
Hey, Cole, if your racing future keeps growing like it is, would you have any, aspirations of being in the Indy 500 someday in the future? It's a big thing this weekend for most people in Indiana. Is that something you want to aspire to?
I mean, that would definitely be something to look up to. I mean, I would obviously, if it's got four wheels and the motor, man, I would I'd never turn down driving it. But obviously, Indy 500 is pretty much the biggest race in the world, and I'm sure the whole month of May would be pretty intense. And I definitely love anything like that. I mean, as well as NASCAR and the World of Outlaws on dirt. I mean, there's so many opportunities in that. Amazing racing careers that you could attain and just, being at the right place at the right time, I'd say.
Well, Cole, it's been awesome talking with you this morning. Thanks so much for answering my phone call the other day and being on. If you wanted to tell Clinton County, what your biggest thing or accomplishment has been so far, what would that be?
I've had a handful of wins. I really haven't got many yet in the sprint car or anything, but I don't know. I guess just, as hard as I've worked for everything and, keeping my head down and really never giving up, sometimes I take for granted what I'm really doing, and I'm truly living the dream, and I hope to never stop living the dream. And That's probably the best thing I could say is never stop chasing that dream because anything's possible.
That's awesome to hear. My guest this morning has been Cole Bodine from Rossville, a Clinton County resident. Thank you so much, Cole, for being on Inside the Huddle this week.